My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I want to start with the Grayson Rodriguez news, and he was put on the 15-day IL yesterday with the lat discomfort. They called it a mild lat strain for Brandon Hyde, at least yesterday in pregame. How do you think this now impacts this Orioles rotation as we're now in the push for October?
Well, obviously it puts people in positions that, the Orioles were hoping they wouldn't be in. You know, Suarez is going to have to go and stay in the rotation. They're going to need Rodgers to step up and be more than a five-inning guy, which is kind of what we've seen so far with him. It just really makes other guys have to step up. Kramer's now going to have to be a guy that you really need to step up his game as well. So when you look at that, I think that's kind of what you're dealing with here. Hopefully it's not something that will be too long. Hopefully it's something that he can come back in at least by the end of September and be ready for the playoffs. But, you know, he's had the last strain before. It was perhaps, I think it was a grade 2 the last time, which is more serious. I don't know if they've said what the grade is yet with this, but hopefully it's something not as bad, but I know it took him a little while. Even once he did recover, it took a little while for his mechanics to come back. So it's a big loss for the team, but hopefully it won't affect them in the playoffs.
Hey, Tone, how do you pinch hit for Holiday and Couser?
That seems to be the going question right now. Hyde is just one of those guys. He's kind of a real strict platoon guy. That's the way he's always kind of managed. He manages that his bullpen that way, and that's kind of how that's how he's managing his lineup. It's tough when you have two hot hitters, two guys that are hitting well. It's really tough to get them out of a game like that in their situations, unless you're really bringing in an impact guy. And it's not like they were bringing in, definite impact right-handed hitters. So it's just one of those situations where that's kind of how he manages. And I think that's the way he's going forward. He just likes those platoon matchups. And, I think there's a lot of people kind of disagreed in this last game with that.
We're talking to Tony Pente from OriolesHangout.com. It's Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. And Tony, we saw Jackson Holiday go yard again last night, third straight games, youngest player in American League history to hit a home run in three straight games. What are you seeing from him now in his second stint at the major league level?
Well, obviously his confidence is back up since going down. He looks like he's cut down his swing a little bit. And he's just obviously, once he started having some success, that started just kind of snowballing for him. Both when he first came up, it snowballed bad, and this time it's just kind of snowballing in a good direction, in a sense of he's just seeing the ball real well right now. He's not chasing a lot of bad pitches. He's making adjustments. The home run he hit on the high fastball was a great example of how he struck out earlier in the game on the same pitch. This time he got down, he was looking for it, and sure as heck, he was looking for it and got on top of it. And 420-foot home run is not bad at all, especially a pull home run. So, he's just a guy that clearly is seeing the ball very well. The talent is starting to come through, and you're seeing that confidence. And confidence is one of the biggest things hitters have. It's kind of, we're seeing that right now with Mayo on the opposite side. You can tell that, you know, he's getting that first, you know, that first look at major league pitching and hasn't gone well. And you can see the confidence is a little bit of a struggle up there right now. I mean, he did hit a ball late in the game yesterday. It was on the nose right at the shortstop. So that's a good sign that maybe he's starting to, you know, make some adjustments as well. But yeah, confidence is always the big thing. And once those guys start to realize they can do it up here, that's when they become dangerous.
Hey, Tone, what you saw from Mayo, because Mayo was dominating AAA. So the biggest thing you see between then and now is confidence. That's you know, his biggest issue right now.
Yeah, he's just swinging through pitches that he didn't swing through in the minors. I mean, he swung through a couple of 94 mile an hour fastballs that those are pitches that he was depositing in AAA, and that tells me he was looking for something else. You know, what they started doing right away was they went right to the scouting report. And the scouting report in the minors, even in the minors, was he swung and missed a lot of breaking balls, sliders especially. So what did he see? I saw a healthy diet. In fact, he was throwing up until yesterday. I don't know what the numbers are after yesterday's game. But up to yesterday's game, he was seeing, I think, 54% breaking balls. So they were just basically saying, look, you can't hit them. We're going to keep throwing them at you. And then I think he started sitting, you know, all right, I've got to start sitting breaking pitches. And then they start throwing him fastballs in this last game. And they start throwing fastballs by him because he was sitting curveballs. So, again, these are things that just come with confidence. Once you start getting that confidence of see ball, hit ball, you're not so much guessing what they're trying to do. Yes, there's a certain amount of mental preparation of what they're trying to do to you, and you want to try to be prepared for that. But good hitters aren't just necessarily always sitting on pitches. They're kind of getting, especially when they get the two strikes, they've got to get in that see ball, hit ball mode. And it's pretty clear that right now, without that confidence, without those couple of hits that'll get them going, I think he's just kind of a little bit searching for it right now, offensively. But, you know, obviously the bigger issues is defensively. You know, that was his struggle down in AAA, and obviously he has not shown well up here in his few games up here at third base. So he's going to have to improve that, because we know the Orioles value defense a whole lot, especially in the infield.
Tony, we saw Anthony Santander hit another two home runs yesterday. He's as hot as anybody in the league right now. And, you know, obviously he's kind of the guy where we're looking at in terms of his contract situation. He's a free agent after this year, and we haven't seen the Orioles in this type of situation in this current era of the Orioles, to where we're talking about them bringing back one of their own. Where are you on the future of Anthony Santander?
Yeah, he's obviously having a career year, 29 years old, and you know, Santander has been just fabulous. I mean, offensively and defensively, he went off this offseason, got himself in his best shape of his career in his walk year, and sure enough, he's put the numbers up to back it up this year. And it's tough to let a guy like that go. At the same time, you know, the whole idea was that Kirkstad was kind of his replacement. Obviously, it's been a little bit of a tough year, especially since he's had the concussion. He, you know, hasn't looked right since then. But, you know, Kirkstad was always supposed to be his replacement, and you looked at, and if that didn't work out in the past, you had Stowers, who was the ex guy. Well, you've already traded away Stowers. You traded away Norby, who was also a corner outfielder. So there's not a lot of guys that are ready to step up in the minor leagues outside of Kirkstad to go into that right field. So one thought, you know, people have thought in the past that maybe Mayo is a guy that could go out there and use that right arm, since he has that great right arm. Maybe that's something he can do. But I've heard he's taken fly balls in the past. Obviously, they have not put him out there. So I don't know whether he just, you know, wasn't successful in that role, or they just wanted to kind of see how this works at third base. But you have to ask, what's the replacement? And if there's not a replacement, then he's a hard guy to let go, because one, he's a team leader, and two, he's doing it both offensively and defensively. But you just have to be careful about paying a guy for past performance, especially when he's rolling into a year 30, which is what he'll be doing. So if somebody wants to give him a 5-year contract with a lot of money, I think the Orioles are going to have to go in a different direction.
Hey, Tony, is there any help in the minors right now with pitching?
Well, I mean, the guys that you start thinking about, you know, McDermott's already hurt. Povich, we've seen a couple of times, and he's left wanting with his command up here. I think the next guy probably in line is probably Brandon Young. a 6'6" right-hander who has thrown the ball really well up in AAA. He's shown some pretty good stuff. He could be a guy that gets an opportunity in the rotation if they need it. He also could potentially go out in the bullpen if they need somebody to give him some length out there. So he's kind of that next guy in the line, I think, you know, outside of Povich and outside of the Bakers of the world, guys that, you know, you kind of bring up and down. There's just not a lot. You know, the Orioles over the years have spent their draft capital on, you know, hitters. It's mostly college hitters, and it's helped them get some guys this year. Obviously, trading Stowers and trading Norby has gotten them some pitchers that they liked. But there's not a ton in the minors right now, especially the upper portion of the minors, that you say this guy's ready to compete at the major league level. So it's definitely something that hopefully is going to be improved. Hopefully there may be some changes in the draft philosophy to get more pitchers into the high-end pitchers, I should say, into the organization.
Tony, great stuff as always, man. Really appreciate your time this morning. We'll talk again down the line about the Orioles as they continue to push to win this division again.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Tony.
Thanks, Tony. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get to the whip around. A manager has been fired in Major League Baseball. We'll also get to another manager that was tossed in last night's game. That's next here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Vinny and Haney's Whip.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County.
105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for the Bobster here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. Going until 2 o'clock right here on The Fan. It's the whip around, looking around what's going on in the world of sports. Let's go out to Chicago, where the White Sox, the worst team in baseball this year, they did end up snapping their 21-game losing streak, and that had tied the 88 Orioles. And They got the win against the A's the other night, but then last night they lose 3-2 to the A's, and today their manager, Pedro Grifol, was fired from Chicago, and this is probably no surprise to anybody. I don't think it changes anything, but, you know, something has to be done, and obviously he's lost the clubhouse. The guys are just, they can't wait for the season to end at this point.
I agree with that. And you know, if the players have mailed it in and tuned out the coach, and if he has, might as well get rid of him now, you know, because you're going to get rid of him eventually anyhow. You know, are they playing hard for him? They're getting blown out a lot of games. Yeah. So that kind of tells you that they're not.
Yeah, that is the case. So Chicago, they'll be hiring a new manager this offseason, and it feels like a revolving door out there these days. It's kind of tough to see any light at the end of the tunnel for the White Sox. Let's go out to LA. The Dodgers, they fell to the Phillies 9-4 last night, but we saw Brandon Hyde get ejected in the game last night in the win over the Blue Jays last night. Dave Roberts, he was ejected in that loss against the Phillies, and here's what he had to say following that game.
It wasn't explained to me. Hunter wasn't about to explain the call to me. And to be fair, I was just trying to defuse the situation. As I looked at the replay, he missed the call. This might be the first time I've ever said that it was an egregious missed call. Their job's hard. That changed the game.
Yeah, I mean, and it did end up, you know, being a huge call in the game. If you missed it, looks like the runner sliding into third base, and it was a nice play by the Dodgers.
Yep.
They failed it, get the ball to third base quickly, and I just don't know what else Miguel Rojas is supposed to do at third base. I mean, he's there. It looks like an organic play to me, but they called him for interference, said he was blocking the bag. And the umpire is sitting there literally going back and forth, yelling with Miguel Rojas. So that's why Dave Roberts is saying he's trying to defuse the situation, because it was already on 10 before he got on the field. And I guess, you know, at that point, the umpire is just not, obviously he's not changing his call. And it looks like he was just as combative as they were.
Yeah, and it's not a reviewable call,
right,
which sucks,
right,
because that probably would have changed it. But I mean, if you're the third baseman, Rojas, what are you supposed to do? I mean, he did everything he was supposed to do. He didn't try to block the guy's foot. Mm-hmm. That was the guy's foot ran into the other guy's foot when he was sweeping a tag. I mean, that was a horrible call. And the thing about it is like the umpire, the crew chief after the game kind of. Well, I guess he's got to stand up for his guy,
right,
Winderstedt. But it was a bad, bad call.
Yeah, it was. So, you know, the Dodgers, and these are two of the better teams in baseball. So a lot's probably riding on this series terms of National League implications, as we're in the playoff push now, that time of year in Major League Baseball. So that was definitely a huge call. Like I said, the Phillies, they go on to win that game 9-4. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll bring in Orioles Baseball Tonight co-host Mike Bordick, also Orioles Hall of Famer Mike Bordick. Talk some Orioles baseball with him. What is he seeing from the young guys and Jackson Holliday and Kobe Mayo? We'll also talk about Brandon Hyde and some of his decisions this year as well. That's next here on The Fan. We're joined now by Orioles Hall of Famer co-host of Baltimore Baseball Tonight, my guy Mike Bordick. Mike, what's going on?
Hey, Cordell, how are you today?
Not bad at all. And, Mike, we've seen the Orioles pitching staff suffer through some injuries here recently. We've got Grayson Rodriguez going on the IL. Jacob Webb is being checked out right now. How concerned are you with this pitching staff and their health status?
I'm extremely concerned. I mean, my gosh, we have run into a rash of injuries. And I know it seems like you know, injuries are up this year. I think just the way the pitchers are throwing, but man, maybe we've been spoiled, because the Orioles, I think, other than John Means a couple years ago, really been able to avoid big injuries, and they've been able to overcome with the depth they have. Well, I don't know that any organization could plan for what has just happened to the Orioles coming out of spring training. You know, three reliable arms going down. And then, obviously, Rodriguez going down, too. Losing a bullpen arm as well, our most reliable bullpen arm. Listen, how do you replace that stuff? You really don't. You hope somebody gets on a roll, a couple guys get on a roll. Dean Kramer could be that guy that could potentially step up. And, you know, the arms that we saw finish last night's ball game are going to be the guys that are going to really have to step forward and take a workload. And, you know, these guys are just going to have to rally together as a team. I don't know. We shouldn't really doubt them because they haven't disappointed us at all. But, man, do they have their backs against the wall right now with the rash of injuries.
Hey, Morty, help me out a little bit. When a manager gets tossed, you know, does he leave? Because like last night's game, you know, is Hyder still making the decision? You know, talk me through what really happens, you know, with the managers and the guy, you know, who's replacing him. And because it was funny on TV, you know, they're showing Hyder. They say, well, there's Brandon Hyde's son. He's the bat boy. And he's talking to, you know, he like, is he running back? You know, so talk me through it, Morty, what really is happening there.
Well, I guess you never know nowadays with security and stuff like that. But I know back in the day, if a manager got thrown out, he was 10 feet away from the dugout because he was telling the interim manager what was going on and what he should do. Now, I've also seen managers just throw their stuff up and say, you got it, and just leave and never come back to be seen until the next day. So they just trust, you know, whoever the bench coach is to run the show. But most managers need to be involved and make those tough decisions down the stretch.
We're talking to Mike Bordick, who joins us here on 105.7 The Fan. Is Vinny and Haney on The Fan. And Mike, you look at this team, defense is usually their calling card. We saw a couple of defensive issues last night that kind of impacted Trevor Rogers' final line. But how do you feel about the defense as a whole for this team this year? It just feels like it's not up to par the way it has been the last couple of seasons.
No, it really hasn't. They've taken a little bit of a step backwards, and I think this is just part of the growing and maturity, hopefully, for this young infield right now. Listen, there's no secret that these guys are incredible athletes, but the problem is they're just so young. They haven't experienced, you know, all the situations that come up in big league games, and we've seen that a couple times here just recently. You know, that pop fly down the left field line that Mayo was really tentative on. That should have been an out and could have. And it was actually Dean Kramer's start that could have been a game changer there. So those type of things. And I think they're trying to be really careful with them as well, because I'll say this. When defense all of a sudden gets in your head mentally, it's really hard to come out of it. I'm really impressed with how Gunnar Henderson's been handling himself defensively. Looks really good. Looks like he's slowed the game down, getting his feet under him on some plays and not being so rushed. So maybe Manzo's got a great message for these guys to try to keep them under control, because if you lose a young guy defensively, mentally, it's really hard to bring him back and get him focused on the game and every pitch and understanding the importance of the out, needing to make outs in the big leagues is the priority, period.
Hey, Bordy, you know, I think Hyder's had a couple bad games, you know, the last couple games. You know, and the other night, eighth inning, pinch hitting for Holiday after he'd hit a home run and is one of your batting 400, you know, and then with Couser. And then last night, you know, you're pitching to Guerrero, you know, and you know, Santander makes a great play, but I mean, you got two outs, man on second, and it's their best hitter. I mean, why not just walk the guy? I mean, talk me through those two scenarios, Bordy, because it kind of like I was a little disappointed in Hyder.
Yeah, well, you know, I think every manager is up, you know, for judgment, especially us Monday armchair quarterbacks that, you know, can kind of sit back and say, well, I would have done this. Listen, I think, first of all, Brandon Hyde has got a new roster to deal with. He's got some players that have been presented to him that are supposed to help him get over the finish line. Soto in the bullpen, and obviously the right-handed bats. Now, Eloy's off to a really good start. I can kind of understand taking the chance there. My, I guess, biggest thing is Brandon seems to always have a great feel for his players, and I don't know that there was anything that stood out more than the two hottest players in the lineup, that being Jackson Holiday and Colton Cowser. I would think those would be the last guys on your mind to pinch hit for. So I think he got caught up in it, and I do think he overmanaged a little bit. But I think Brandon Hyde's a great manager. I think he's super for this team. I think these guys respect him. I think they'll run through brick walls for him. And I think they also understand that this new day and age of baseball, where analytics is really the king, a lot of managers, and I'm not sure exactly if Brandon Hyde is controlled by that, but you know some of the decision-making will come into that, you know, just analytically, lefty-righty matchups. And he's kind of stuck to that philosophy pretty consistently. And to some points, I think, obviously, to a fault.
Hey, Bordy, you know what Cordell and I were talking about when he did it? It reminded us of the Charger coach. I don't know if you followed the Chargers at all, but the coach from the Chargers that was going for it on his own 20-some yard line in on the first series of the game because analytics said it was the right thing to do.
Yeah. No, that stuff shows up a lot in sports nowadays, and it's all good if it works out, right? But the problem is when it doesn't, and then we can all kind of look at it a little differently. Yeah, I just think baseball, I think managers now, I do think they still trust their gut, you know, to a point. I think they have to. I think that's just, it's just instinctive, I think, with baseball people to trust their gut. But I also think that they really have to follow the analytics, too, because sometimes these numbers just don't lie.
Mike, we haven't been in a position here in this current stint with the Orioles to where we're talking about them extending their own guys, but that's definitely the conversation around Anthony Santander, who went yard twice last night. He's as hot as anybody these days. What are your thoughts on his future in Baltimore?
Well, if anything should remind the Orioles and really every organization how fragile rosters can be, it's this year, what's happening to the Orioles. So what they have in front of them are a couple really impressive pieces. Listen, Anthony Santander has been the best power hitter in the game for the last 2 months, no doubt about it. I mean, he has been incredible. And to do it, you know, switch hitting, playing great defense too. And I think as a guy that kind of grew up in the Orioles organization, what a great message to send to some of these younger players that want to be Orioles for life. And I think Corbin Burnes has got to be another guy. We see the importance of pitching and the importance of a true number one. I mean, man, nobody's as dependable as Corbin Burnes, and thank goodness he's in, you know, the Oriole organization. One of the best moves that Mike Elias has made this offseason, and if there is some sort of way to keep him, man, well, I just think that would be a huge boost for this organization. They've got control over so many players. At some point, they're going to have to pay somebody.
Mike, great stuff as always, man. Can't wait to hear you back on BBT. Enjoy your break. We'll hear from you again down the line.
All right, Cordell. All right, Vinny. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, Bordy.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll take a trip through the Funhouse with Quick Draw McGraw, see what you guys are talking about on the text line. That's next here on The Fan. Following yesterday's practice here from John Harbaugh, Ben Cleveland, Roger Rosengarten, a couple of guys that are a part of these offensive line battles. But right now, let's take a trip through the Funhouse.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that Quick Draw.
105.7 The Fan.
On the topic of Anthony Santander, this texter wants to note that we shouldn't ignore the fact that Santander likely really wants to stay in Baltimore, would be very willing to sit down and put pen to paper this offseason. I would hate for the organization to assume that he's too expensive and not engage in serious conversations. Compare that to Corbin Burnes and his situation, where he and his agent are not as attached to Baltimore, just seeking max value.
Yeah, I have no doubt that the Orioles will at least attempt to make an offer at Santander. I think they would try.
Yeah.
You know, he's been here long enough. He's homegrown for the most part. And I could get with Santander wanting to be in Baltimore. He's a really good guy in the clubhouse too. He's always happy. He's probably one of the bigger jokers in the clubhouse. And, you know, whenever he's available, he'll talk and he's pretty engaging with the media. I don't have a bad word to say about Anthony at all.
But you can't control what other teams, you know, are going to do. That's the thing. And you know what? He hadn't made the big money yet. And this is his first shot. So if somebody's going to offer him 5 years and the Orioles are offering him three and the money's similar or whatever, I mean, it's pretty obvious what he's going to do. And you can't blame him for that.
Oh, but the market is going to be super competitive for a switch-hitting power bat that can play defense as well. I mean,
and a good guy in the 30. Locker room.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to have a market.
As far as Brandon Hyde, this texter here says, I agree with Vinny. The poor pinch-hitting decisions were flat-out horrendous the other night. And at this point, Hyde is on trial for me, has been since the playoff exit last year.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the case. He is. I keep saying it. I think the way that this season ends is going to loom large in his future. I'm not sitting here saying that he's going to be fired if the Orioles don't win the World Series. But if they're in the wild card again and they get swept and they just look like they have no business being there again, everything's on the table.
Yeah.
Everything's on the table at that point.
Hey, you know what, Norm? I was just thinking about, let's say that the Mets get Soto, or, you know, a great option for the Yankees, you know, outfielder with power to replace Soto. I mean, Santander could be that guy with that short right field wall and all. I think it'd be, you know, somebody that the Yankees would pay, because otherwise you're paying Soto $500 million.
Yeah, don't tease that fan base.
Yeah.
They're already way ahead.
I think that's the only team he would go to where he'd be booed coming back. I think the Yankees would be the only team he could go to that they boo him.
It's like the Lakers. Any good player around the league, that fan base saying, oh,
yeah,
he's going to be a Yankee. It's been that way forever. It was like that with Machado, Bryce Harper. Any prominent big-name player, even smaller role players, they want him in pinstripes. Let's see. One more here. More nitpicking for Hyde. Texter says, a managerial miss for me last night. Not pinch hitting for Eloy Jimenez after he was working his way around the base paths with defensive miscues by Toronto. He was on third with one out before Holiday came up to bat. If Holiday doesn't hit the home run there, I'm not sure Jimenez scores in a sac fly situation. Would have liked to have seen a pinch runner.
Maybe. I mean, he had that one stint where he did run the bases pretty well last night. Granted, he's slow. I mean, we're not going to sit here and act like it's Jorge Mateo.
What injury is he fighting? Because, I mean, Elias or Hyde, one of them said, you know, he's got, I think it was Elias yesterday said that, you know, he's Jimenez is fighting and he's playing with an injury.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
it looks like it when he's trying to run.
He was laboring, running around the bases. Yeah, I mean, everything Hyde does is under a microscope these days, especially after the other night. It worked out. It's tough. I'm more so ready to beat him up for the ones that don't work out as opposed to the ones that do. It's too many things that we could go to and have revisionist history on and say, well, that worked, but if it didn't, then I don't want to go down that road.
Well, I imagine like Boone would be saying, hey, I'll trade spots with you anytime media-wise, you know?
Easily. Oh, yeah. Easily.
Well, as far as Jimenez, I mean, just watching him round the bases last night when Toronto was throwing it all over the place, I thought he was going to get thrown out going second to third.
I did, too.
It looked like he was about to.
He's running, presumably, max effort. I'm going to give him that benefit of the doubt, but it literally looks like he's jogging. If he's running max effort, he looks like he's jogging.
He must have a hammy, or he must have something, because they said he can't play in the field.
Well, he can't do a lot. He can't run. He can't play the field. At least
he's hitting right now.
At least he's hitting.
Hitting. And that's something he wasn't doing for the most part at all. And his ground ball rate is through the roof. And he got lucky on a couple last night as well. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get you some news from the Nets. We'll hear from the head coach, John Harbaugh, a couple of these offensive linemen as well that are part of these O-line battles. That's next here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style.
you get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.